Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. Stay connected by following us on social media at Freedom House OC. We hope you enjoy this message.
We're on this series, A Summer of Breakthrough, and we're talking about how allowing God not to let us break down, but how God wants us to break through. And the summer is a time for rest, chill, relax, but it's also a time for reflection, I think, where summer you can really reflect upon maybe how the first half of the year has been and how you can maybe make adjustments to have a greater second half of the year and finish strong. How many want to finish strong the year? Come on, say amen. Finish it strong in life and family and everything God has called you to do in purpose and business and just goals, aspirations. Go conquer the world in Jesus' name and shine the light of Jesus. Amen. So summer, we call it summer breakthrough. What you sow in the summer, you'll reap in the fall. And so we've been talking about breakthrough. And I want to talk today a message that has been marinated in me for over a month and a half. I really wanted to preach this about a month or so ago. And I felt that I wanted to share it. And the Lord kind of led me in a different direction. So I just let it marinate a little more, like a good tri-tip. Good ribs, you know, let it smoke a little more. Come on, like a good carne asada. Come on now, you know, just let it marinate in those juices. And so I feel released to share it now. And what I want to talk about today is not going to be your typical message that you might have thought would come out when I'm talking about breakthrough. When you think about a word like breakthrough, that's a very powerful word, the God of, you know, the God of breakthrough. But we think about breakthrough, we think maybe strength and power and just, ah. But I want to share about something today that's very pivotal, of highest importance. It's paramount when it comes to receiving the breakthrough God has for your life. So if you got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, we're going to begin in chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. And if you didn't get a message outline when you walked in, lift your hand, or ushers will give that to you. The points to my message as well as the verses we'll be studying this morning for the teaching of God's word. We're going to read verse 1 through 10. If you're like, wow, that's a lot of verses. What you think we're going to do when you came to the Bible? The church. We're going to read the Bible. Come on now. If you go to the gym, you're going to work out. You go to church, we're going to read the Bible, right? Amen. So once you got your Bibles and your outline, do me a favor for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Can you stand to your feet with me as we read God's Word together, if you're physically able to? And let's read the Word of God together here. Nehemiah, I'm going to begin in chapter 8, verse number 1 through 10. And if you're there, say, I'm there. I'm there. Yeah, the media team got us there. Thank you, media team. All right. I'm reading a New Living Translation. The New Living Translation is a dynamic equivalence, and you know, it just helps you understand, breaks it down a little more language of today's contemporary language. When I got saved, they gave me a King James Version Bible. They're like, here's a King James Version Bible. I was like, don't do that to people. Come on, get them like an NIV, an NLT. And sometimes, I mean, I know you're, you know, LeBron James fan, but just get like an NLT. Let it break it down a little more. All right, tough crowd this morning. All right, verse 1. Are you there? Okay. Let the preacher preach. The Bible says like this, Nehemiah writes, he says, all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. It says they asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which was the word of God, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included men and women and all the children old enough to understand. So context is like a church service. They all gathered to hear the word of the Lord. In verse 3, the Bible says he faced the square inside the water gate and from early morning until about noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. And all the people listened closely to the book of the law. So he was reading the Bible and preaching for 6 hours. I'm going to do a 6-hour sermon today. I'm just kidding. Come on. You're like, what? I'm just joking. You're like, yeah, yeah. Some of you are saying bring it on. Others are like, you better not. You better. Come on. Kids church workers are like, you better not do 6 hours. We'll send you to kids church. I mean, so what we had here? 6 hours they were reading the Bible. Verse 4, Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for that occasion. So kind of like a stage. So I want to show you that what we're doing, you know, it's kind of like the stage. It's biblical. They're all there. He's on a wooden platform. And the Bible says, to his right stood Mattiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Messiah. To the left, Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, and all those other guys. Come on, somebody. Verse 5. Ezra stood. Come on, man. You got it. All right. Does anybody have interpretation for that tongue? Come on now. I'm sorry. All right. Verse 5. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of the people, and when they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet, kind of like you just did right now when I read the Bible. Verse 6, then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, and Amen, kind of like we say in church, Amen. In other words, let it be so. And as they lifted their hands, they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That's when you do this. And you're worshiping God. This is all biblical. Verse 7, the Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hobdai, Masai, Kilatai, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, and Peleah. You ought to clap because I got those names. All right, that is attractive. Come on, it's not easy, all right? I'm going to give you the microphone, make you read it. Then instructed the people in the law while everyone remained in their places. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Again, that's what I do on a weekly basis. We read the word and I help you understand the passage. So this is all going on right here. Then in verse 9, what I really wanted to get to, verse 9 and 10, then Nehemiah the governor, then Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law or the book of the Bible. In verse 10, and Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with the feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want you to say that with me. Say, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now personalize it. Say, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, for the joy of the Lord is your strength in Jesus' name. I want to minister to you a message that I've entitled, I Choose Joy. Because a key component to your breakthrough is going to be the measure in which you can grab a hold of the joy of God in your life. So I want to talk about that today. Come on. In Jesus' name, bow your head and let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. And this morning, as we gather to study your word, your passages, Lord, I pray you encourage us. You speak to us. You encourage us, Lord. Let our faith be increased, our fears be minimized, that we may have the joy of the Lord this morning as we talk about how we want to enjoy the things of God, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say, amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated. And just tell two people around you, tell them, I choose joy. Tell them, say, I choose joy. Don't get mad. I choose joy. Come on now. Amen. Welcome all those who are watching on the television program and also on podcast. You're in the room with us. When I think about choices, you know, I'll start here. Life is a lot about choices. Wouldn't you agree? Life is a lot about choices. I'll even go as far as to say where you're at today in life is the sum total of the choices you've made. And I'll go even a little further, is it's the sum total of what you said yes to and what you said no to. That's what made your life today. So if you're like, I'm so mad at him. You said yes. Don't. Will you? Yes. That was your choice. Come on, somebody. And if you're a guy, just say that was a good choice. Come on, fellas, say that was a good choice if you're married. Don't get yourself in trouble, right? Come on now, we're in church. It's a good choice. But life is about choices. I tell people the most important choice you'll ever make in life, number one, is when you decide to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, that choice doesn't only have an earthly impact, that has an eternal impact. And so the most important choice you'll ever make is to say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life and save me from my sin. I always also tell people one of the second most important choices is the decision you make in who you will spend the rest of your life with, okay? Who's gonna be that soulmate? Who's that person that you're gonna be married to? That's an important decision. Just say amen, okay? It's an important decision. Life is filled with a lot of other important decisions too, you know, how you raise your children, things that you decide. But I have to say some of the probably the most toughest decisions that we'll have in life is what we do with the things that we have no power over. It is the decision that we'll make and how we respond when other people made decisions that now affect us. It's how we respond when storms come or trials come. just so I know I'm talking to the right people. Has anybody ever gone through a battle? How many figured out life is a battle? Have you ever gone through a trial or a storm? Raise your hand. Come on. How many gone maybe through a few storms? Raise two hands. Come on. If I go on the Weather Channel, there's a picture of your face because you've been through so many storms. Just say, that's me, Pastor. Pray. Okay. Amen. I got you. All right. You're right there. Amen. You know, we all go through storms. We all go through battles. And I think one of the toughest decisions, one of the most difficult decisions is, how will I respond to these things that are now affecting my life? For example, I mean, maybe you can go through a battle with your family. Maybe something has transpired within your family and someone's decision has now brought, you know, disunity in your home. And now there's argument and you're going, how should my attitude respond? Should I be on the mad side? Should I be graceful? Should I be loving? And you're like, what? How should I decide? You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're going through a tough time. Maybe your health, you got, you know, a letter from the doctor. You went, got a checkup, and you find out that there's more things that are wrong. And you're going, how should I respond, Lord? Should I be worried? Should I? How can I have joy in all this? Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe someone that you loved has passed away early, and you're going, how can I continue in this? Maybe an injury or an accident, perhaps, you know, theft or loss of business or career or something that is now affecting that you're going, how should I respond? I don't know. Maybe you're sick of being single. Maybe you're sick of being married. We're going to pray for you. Come on, somebody. I don't know. You know, just look straight. Don't see. I don't know what he's talking about. Just look straight. All I'm saying is the decisions we have to make in life, really, the toughest ones is, how do we respond and what type of choice are we going to make when life hits us? And if I can go even a little bit, you know, deeper in that thought, a lot of those decisions is the choice we make of the attitude we'll have. What will be our countenance? What will be our state of being? And I just want to declare this morning, I want to encourage you, because if we're going to talk about breakthrough and we're going to talk about not breaking down, but breaking through, I believe that one of those decisions you and I will have to make is to get up every morning and say, today, I don't choose to be worried. Today, I'm not going to choose to have anxiety. Today, I'm not going to choose to be depressed, but today I choose joy. Oh, come on, give God a clap. Like, we're going to make a decision. Amen. To choose the joy of the Lord. Now, this is so important because in the verses we just read, we read about this guy named Nehemiah. Say it with me, Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a really great biblical figure in the Bible, a very great biblical character, because you see, Nehemiah heard some news, and when he first heard this news, the scriptures tell us in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1 that he became mournful. He got sad and was like, oh my goodness. The news he received was that the city, the walls had been burned down, that the city for God's people had been desolate, and he was so discouraged. He was like, oh my goodness. But Nehemiah then made a decision. He decided, I'm going to do something about it. So he asked the king for permission. Can I go rebuild these walls? And the king, to summarize, said, sure, go ahead. And Nehemiah made a decision to rebuild the walls. Now, what I love about Nehemiah, and the reason I love the story of Nehemiah, is because Nehemiah wasn't a priest and he wasn't a prophet. Nehemiah worked a secular job for the king of Persia. He worked a job, and he was just a person that, I don't want to say just, but he was a man that simply said, I'm going to believe God. I may not have an ordination certificate. I might have not been anointed. I may not be a preacher, but I know that if I can make a decision and trust God, I can rebuild any wall. And I'm going to preach one more time, but maybe you're here and you feel disqualified. There's an anointing on your life to rebuild every wall the enemy has torn down. Come on, say amen. You don't need to be a preacher. Well, I'm not a preacher. So what? You're a dad. You know? Well, I don't do this. Doesn't matter. You're a mom. Doesn't matter. You're a man. You're a woman. You're a person, a believer of God. You have an anointing. Go rebuild some walls in Jesus' name. Say amen. So he does this. He goes and he says, I'm going to rebuild these walls. And so in chapter 8, the story we read, we pick up where Nehemiah completes the walls. Now, why was it so important to build these walls? The walls represented safety, security. It's like the walls in your house. Imagine if your walls were wide open, you would go to bed at night kind of wondering, someone's going to jack your makeup. I don't know. Come on. Maybe not that, but you know what I mean, right? And so these represented safety, security, and so he helped rebuild these walls. And so, you know, it was a sense for God's people. So they rebuild the walls, and in chapter 8, Nehemiah had completed leading the rebuilding of these walls. And so everything he had been through politically, everything he had been through in his life helped him to be able to lead, you know, the physical reconstruction necessary for God's people to survive. And I just want to say, everything you've been through, God is going to use it to help reconstruct what he wants to bring in this generation. Okay. And so him and Ezra lead a spiritual revival for the people. And so they start teaching the word of God. For 6 hours, he's preaching. It was a good service. Just can't come. That's all relative, right? Somebody like, no, that's not. Just say what you got to say, preacher. Why do you need 6 hours? But for 6 hours, he's reading the word. He's literally reading the word. They're standing up for 6 hours. Come on now. Somebody had to pass out and lock their knees. Come on, you know it probably happened, okay? But for 6 hours, he's reading the scripture. He's preaching 6 hours. Then by this time, the people start getting cut to their heart. The Bible says they start weeping. They're like, man, they just felt like discouraged. They were like, man, we're so far from God. We're so messed up. They were worried. Man, well, you know, is God still going to be with us? And then Nehemiah does something so powerful, because God's people, they felt they were so broken down. The people felt like what had happened, maybe it was built, but maybe it's just a matter of time till it all breaks down again. And so they couldn't celebrate the moment to the fullness. So Nehemiah says this in verse 10, and he tells this to God's people. And I want to say this to you, and I really want to teach on this today, because it is such an important, I believe, principle for us receiving breakthrough in our lives. And he says this in verse 10. And Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with the feast. He says, rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts with people who don't have anything prepared, for this is a sacred day of the Lord. And he says, don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Can we say that one more time? For the joy of the Lord. Say it again. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. We need to understand that in such a deep facet, because today I'm going to tell you that it is so important that we as believers learn how to operate with the joy of the Lord. We need to learn how to operate with the joy of the Lord, because it's going to be real hard to get breakthrough. And it's going to be real hard to get strength if you're trying to sorrow your way to strength. Sorrowing your way to strength never really leads to breakthrough. We got to learn to find the joy of the Lord so that we can then make a decision about how to respond to life and say, I know that I may have this circumstance, but my joy is not wrapped in a circumstance. My joy is wrapped in my Creator, and it's wrapped in Jesus Christ. Come on, say amen. You see, joy is a decision about how you respond to life. That's what joy is. And rarely can you sorrow your way to strength. And so Nehemiah teaches them while they're like crying, like, man, I don't know what's going on. He said, wait, stop. The joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. He says, listen, you've got to learn the discipline of joy. You have to learn to fix your attitude, not always be in a place of sorrow, but to get the joy of the Lord in your life. Because if you always walk around with sorrow or an eternal bad day, you're never going to get the breakthrough. Now, when I talk about joy, I want to say I'm not talking about hype, okay? So I'm not talking about like, yeah. Come on. I'm not talking about hype, okay? I'm not talking about, you know, like pretending like, you know, the house is burning. I don't even know it's burning. It's awesome, man. It's great, you know? That's not what I'm talking about, all right? I'm not talking about you so disconnected from reality. The joy I'm talking about is, you know what's burning in your life, but I also know who my God is. And my God is able, and even when life isn't good, my God is good. And even when things are burning down, I know God will work all things together for my good. So my joy is in the Lord. Someone say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm talking about us as a church, if you're going to get breakthrough, receiving the type of joy that comes from God that will lead you to the true freedom in Christ. I'm talking about the type of joy that will lead you to a place of strength when your marriage has been weakened. I'm talking about the type of joy that will lead your family to start laughing again and making memories again and start enjoying each other's companies again, and you start actually being in unity again. I'm talking a type of joy that, according to Scripture, is like good medicine for your soul. I'm talking about the type of joy that is unshakable no matter what shakes in your life, no matter what car breaks down, no matter who lets you off, no matter what, come on, no matter who stabs you in the back. I know that God has my front. Say amen. That's the joy I'm talking about. And this concept of the joy of the Lord, as I talk about it, I know you might be like, okay, joy of the Lord, okay, let's be happy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a joy that's going to lead you to the greatest breakthrough. It's so fundamentally important that even Jesus Christ possessed this quality. And I want to show you in Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 2. Watch this verse here. The scripture says this. Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finisher of our faith. So he's the finisher. So if God's not done with you, you're not done yet. Okay? He might have been done with you. She might have been done with you. They might have been done with you. But if God's not done with you, you ain't done. Say amen. The Bible says we got to look to Jesus. In other words, he's our example, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says, who for the what? The what? Joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, joy was one of the motivators of Jesus to endure the cross. What am I saying to you? One of the most important motivators that you have got to get a hold of is the joy of the Lord so that you can endure whatever cross you're carrying in this moment. Because if Jesus had to, how many know we're going to have to? We're gonna have to learn the discipline of saying, God, I'm not gonna let anything steal my joy. Because Jesus was so focused on the joy of what would come on the other side of the cross, the resurrection and the birth of the New Testament church, that he would literally go through the most excruciating things in his life because he knew that God would get the glory out of it. And we as believers have to learn to not lose our joy, but to have our joy in the Lord, to endure whatever storm and whatever difficulty we're currently going through. Just put a good church amen on that. Say amen. This is proof that joy has little to do with circumstance and a lot to do with your focus of your Creator. It's also proof that life doesn't have to be perfect to be filled with joy. We got to say, God, if Jesus could have joy enduring the cross and the shame, okay, those are the haters, the shame, the haters, drinking haterade, got a little hateritis. People that try to hate on you. He says, I endure that because I know the joy that's going to come on the other side. You see, we've got to learn to get this. Now, the Bible says for the joy. What is this? The word joy? The Greek word joy, I want to break this down here. The Greek word joy is kara. Can you say that with me? Kara. Two people. Say with me, kara. Come on, kara. And this Greek word kara means joy received. Okay? So it's not joy. It's not the... For the joy that was said before, joy received, it is a received joy that comes from the Lord, the joy of the Lord. So it's not joy in Josiah, it's joy in the Lord. So as long as God is joyful, I'm going to be joyful. Okay? It's not, well, if I'm not happy, I'm not happy. No, God is good, even when life isn't. God is in a place of strength, even when I'm not. God has, he'll supply all my needs and all according to his riches and his glory, even when I'm on low. So my joy is in God. So we got to know that it's joy received. You see, joy is not happiness and happiness is not joy. Those are two different things. Happiness or happy means something has to happen in order for you to get happy. Happy meal. So get happy. You got a happy meal, now get happy, right? And so there's a meal, smile, right? Cool. You should get happy if you got a happy meal, right? You don't be happy about all the cars, but get happy. Come on, somebody. So happy. But joy is, it doesn't matter what happened. God is on my side, so I have a spiritual state of joy. Whether I get happy meal or no happy meal, my joy is in God because it's a state of being, not an event. Say amen. Happy is an external event, right? It's like, it's happy because it's an external event. You go to Disneyland, the happiest, actually no, the second happiest place on earth. Ask me, what's the first? Freedom House, come on somebody, amen, all right. Second happiest place on earth. But happiness is an external event. You go to Disneyland, you hear the music, dun, 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 you know? I'm happy, you know? And your kid's like, I'm not happy. You're like, I paid a lot of money for that ticket. You better $20 churro. Come on, somebody. You better smile all day, you know? I mean, you're not so happy when you get home, you realize how much money you spent. But anyway, external event. Get happy, right? We're going on the Dumbo ride. Get happy. So you know, you it's an happiness, and that's cool. I'm not downplaying that. Go ahead and go to Disneyland. Have fun. Happiness, that happiness is external event. Joy is an internal event. Joy is, I don't have to be at Disneyland to get happy. I don't have to be on Buzz Lightyear ride to be happy. I don't have to hear the music to be happy, because it's not an external event. Joy is an internal event. And if God gave it to me, nothing can take it away from me, because my joy is in the Lord. Somebody clap like you're going to get it in Jesus' name. That's why you can have cancer and still be singing. Don't you know where your external event is happening? Yeah, I know, but I know who my God is. That even when life isn't good, God is still good. He's still good. Happy is an outward smile. Ding. It's an outward smile, which is good. You ought to smile. Go ahead. But joy is an inward smile. Because how many of those people could smile, but it could be fake? It's like when they take a picture, act happy. I was like, they're not happy. Joy is an inward smile. God, I'm in a place of contentment. I'm in a place of fulfillment. I don't need more, you're enough. It's an inward, it's a state of being, Lord, I have joy. Happy is momentary, joy is eternal. Happy is when you get something. When you receive a present, that's, you get happy. That's awesome. You should get happy if someone gets you a present. Be smile. Be grateful. Amen. I don't like the color. Come on, get happy. Come on. Thank you so much. Did you get the gift receipt? Come on, somebody. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. It's cool. But joy, to me, is when it just, it's like when we went to the Philippines, and there's this place called the Smoky Mountain, where kids literally go through the garbage every day to find food or whatever's left over, and they're just having fun. They don't have the PS4 or 5 or 10, wherever it's at now. They don't got the Nintendo Switch. They don't have the TV, the cell phone, but they're just having fun. That's joy, because it's not connected to whether I have the latest, the greatest, the biggest, or the baddest. It's just, I'm grateful that I have life. I got joy. Oh, y'all better clap. Come on. Y'all clap like we got joy in this house. Say amen. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. I'm talking about not breaking down. I'm talking about not trying to sorrow your way to strength. I'm talking about learning to find the joy of the Lord in whatever circumstance, so that you can wake up every day, choose joy, and get to your place of breakthrough. Shout amen. Come on, somebody. Point number one, write this down. So I want to talk to you 3 points. I'm not going to finish it today. I'm looking at the time right now, and I'm either going 6-hour service, or I'll preach the other half next Sunday. So I better go next Sunday. I actually want you to come to church. So we'll go. So I'm going to do part one today, part two next week, but I'm going to give you this point right here. I want to talk to you about how to increase the joy of the Lord in your life and to do this. Point number one, write this down. The joy of the Lord is a key to strength. Say what you say. The joy of the Lord is a key to strength. So I know, like I could talk about topics you gotta be strong and power, and I love preaching those topics. But the truth is, biblically speaking, the level of joy in your life will determine the strength in your life as well. That it's gonna be real hard to feel strong if you lost your joy. It's gonna be real hard to find strength if you're still stuck in depression. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I want to read this again because I want to break this down. The Bible didn't say joy is your strength. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because we have a generation that just is trying to have fun and get happy, but they still don't feel fulfilled. You see, the devil can give you pleasure, but only God can give you true joy. Come on, say amen. So if you're like, I just need to have a good time. So I'm going to go and just chill. I'm just going to have a good time. The truth is, you may have fun, but you'll actually wake up with more regret. You'll wake up not fulfilled. I could pass the microphone around and you could listen to everybody else preach. Be like, I done that, bought that, went there, and it did not make me what I thought it would make me. You know, I love what Jim Carrey said. Jim Carrey, you know, the guy, the comedian or the actor. He says, I wish everybody could be rich so they could know it's not everything you've made it out to be. Now, again, if you have resources, go ahead. But what I'm saying is it's not found in that. It's not found in an event. You won't find fulfillment in things. You'll only find it in Jesus. Come on, shout amen. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not just having a good time. Not just, well, I want to celebrate but not honor God. That's not going to get you joy of the Lord. If your celebration doesn't have a God honoring to it. That's only going to bring you more regret, more bondage, more things, more addictions. That's not going to bring you the goodness of God. I got to find joy of the Lord, okay? So the joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is my strength. And so what we got to realize is the scripture says the joy of the Lord, it is our what? Strength. So my strength is directly connected to the measure of the joy of the Lord in my life. And so here's what happens. The devil knows that he can't steal your strength. But if he knows if I can steal your joy, your strength comes with it. So he'll try to attack your strength, your joy, so that you have no strength. And so that's why you got to realize when there's an attack on your joy. You got to realize that, you know? That there's an attack on your joy. You know, you got to realize why you got to have the joy of the Lord, because the devil's trying to take your strength, but he takes it through your joy. You know, he takes it through that. Now, we need to have this important discipline in our life, because have you ever met a person that just has an eternal bad day? Okay, don't point. It's not nice. It's like an eternal bad day, like just eternal. Like everything spins to negatives. Like, hey, congratulations on that car. Higher payment, though. It's crazy, you know, it's a big old payment. All right. Like, hey, nice hair. She took like 6 hours, you know. Better be nice. You're like, sorry, just nice hair, you know, that's all I want to say. It's like, hey, congratulations on that promotion. I got more headaches now, though, every time I go to work. Fantastic, you know what I mean? All right, wait. Catch you next time. Yeah. It's like, you know, an eternal bad day. It's like, that's not inspiring anybody. You know, it's just, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you don't learn to have the joy of the Lord, you're going to find yourself very weak at moments. It's like, you know, the grumpy Christians. I'm just saying, I think, in my opinion, there is no worse witness for Christ than a grumpy Christian. All of a sudden, everybody smiled right now. It was crazy. It was amazing. It was awesome. It's like no worse witness than a grumpy Christian. Melancholy, agitated, every day miserable. Everything's thing, a bunch of employees, man. It was crazy. It was employees, you know, nuts. And that's how they sound, too. You know? Yeah, you know. Want to come to my church? If they're all like you, nah, man, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Grumpy Christians, why, listen. Can I just, why are you so grumpy? Listen, this ain't Snow White. You don't got to be grumpy. Come on, somebody. Don't be grumpy. Let me just, listen. Why are you so grumpy? Like, why? Every day? Every day? Like, all the time? I understand maybe someone gets me mad, but you got all day before you go to bed, stinking kids, man, stinking kids, stinking kids, kids, crazy kids, man, it's demonic, you know. I can't keep a straight face, I'm sorry. Like every day, grumpy, all the time, wake up in the morning, stinking back, stinking feet, eternal bad day. You know, how is that bringing the strength of God in your life? It doesn't. It actually robs the strength of God in your life. And it's a terrible witness for the Lord. It's just real talk. But on the flip side, again, I'm not telling you to be disconnected from reality. Wake up, stinking back. You're going to be healed in Jesus' name today. You ain't going to stop this man of God. Come on. See what I'm saying? I choose joy today. I don't choose complaining. You're going to walk into work and be like, I see, oh, there's the devil. I mean, my boss. I choose joy today. Come on, somebody. Not today, devil. You're going to go in there, you're going to see your employees, but not Freedom House employees. They're all awesome. But you're going to see your employees, you're going to be like, I choose joy today. Come on. You're going to see your bills, your bank account. You're going to see, come on, your sickness, your doctor report. You're going to see your ex. Oh, I talked about your ex. I'm sorry to bring it up in church, but I brought up your ex. You're going to see your ex and be like, thank God I choose joy today. You're my ex, not my future. That's my past. No, come on now. You're going to see your car and say, I choose joy because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, give him a praise. Tell two people, I choose joy. Tell them, I choose joy. Said, I made my decision. I choose joy. Because you gotta realize that the devil does not want your car. He's after your joy. You go to your car, you're like, the devil's after my car. He don't care about your car. He's after my car. You don't even want your car. He don't drive no car. He ain't after your car. He's after your joy. The devil's after my cell phone. He's after my cell phone. I dropped it. The devil's trying to attack my cell phone. He don't care about your cell phone, man. iPhone, Android, whatever. I don't care. He doesn't care. He cares about your joy. He is after the joy of the Lord over your life, your family, your marriage, come on now. And I declare and I decree, I prophesy that there'll be a restoration of joy. I hear laughter in the living room. I hear laughter when your family gets together again. I hear laughter in the kitchen. Oh, married couples, I hear laughter in your bedroom. Oh, I went there. I hear the joy of the Lord about to invade your space because you're going to make a decision. I choose. Give him a praise, second service. Come on, somebody. I choose joy. Loafers and all, I choose joy. Come on. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Casey didn't hear me the first time. He's like, and again, I say, rejoice, joy. It's a choice. We have to learn to increase this in our life. And you got to make a decision. I'm not going to let the world change me. I'm going to change the world. I'm not going to let my circumstance change me. I'm going to change my circumstance. I choose joy because the joy of the Lord is my strength. How do I increase joy in my life? Write this down. Flip your paper over. This would be like point 1A, sub point under one, okay? How do you increase joy in your life? I only got so much space on those notes there. How do we increase joy? Number one, listen to the right people. Okay, you got to listen to the right people. Because some people will drain you of your joy. That's real, hashtag real talk. Yeah, name him Chupacabra, man. Just come on, big old mosquito. Vampire. You got to listen to the right people, man. Okay? Now, I'm not saying, I can't talk to you. Don't steal my joy. Because I'm saying, don't be weird, okay? Come on, somebody. You just have to identify, hey, it's good. Nah, I'm not hanging out. Don't just, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, we'll talk about it. Like, I got goals, man. I'm trying to believe God for breakthrough. And I wrote this down in my notes as I was studying, so I just got to say it, but you also got to choose the right music. I went there. Now, listen, I'm not one of those guys that says, don't listen to nothing but worship. I'm not saying that, okay? You know, you and your honey put some Luther on. Come on, somebody. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just gave you a note out of my book. Go ahead. I don't mind. But you got to learn to listen to the right music. Because there's some music that you know drains you of your joy. You play it and it's repeat. Come on, somebody. Just get rid of that song. It's draining you of your joy. Who am I talking to this morning? Sad girl. Come on. It's called Sad Girl. That's too old school for some of you guys. All right. I'm sorry. Kiki, do you love me? I don't know, but Jesus does. Just, I had to say it. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to do it. Okay, just amen. Lord, help me. My wife gave me the look. All right, I'll keep moving. You got to choose the right music. You also have to learn from the right sources, okay? The right sources. Because if you're, what do you feed on in life? What's your source? So I'm telling you, what's your source? It has to feed your future. Fill your life with things that feed your future, not your past, okay? What feeds your future? Learn the right source, okay? Next one, be led by the right God. Okay, the right God. What's your God? Okay, just because you say, I believe in God doesn't mean God's your God. Because some people are controlled by the girlfriend. Oh, mercy. Here I go, man, I feel the loafer anointing today. I'm top God. I feel right at home. Okay. Your girlfriend is your God. She determines whether or not you can have a good day. Some of you, a guy is your God. He determines whether or not you're going to be holy. Oh, mercy. Maybe your career is your God. Depending on how the day went, depends whether or not you have joy. What's your God? You know, whether or not your car starts, you have joy. Come on, so what's, amen. I'm not saying, you know what I mean. I don't care. I have the joy of the Lord because my God is in heaven, the maker of heaven and earth, and Lord, you are in control. Come on, say amen. I'm almost done, okay? Last one here, how to increase joy. You got to live legacy-minded. Live legacy-minded. Live legacy-minded. You got to think about tomorrow, okay? Don't have a short-term thinking. Live legacy-minded. Okay, what do you want to be remembered for? You got to think about that. So how to increase joy is you're like, you know what? I don't want to be remembered as a grumpy dad or a grumpy friend. I don't want to be remembered as the person that was always looking for just a good time and ruined everybody's life on the way there. I want to have not just fun, but fulfillment. Few people achieve the level of fulfillment. That's purpose. Okay? Most people just want to have fun. I'm not saying fun that's God-honoring is bad. Okay? Fun, God-honoring, go for it. That's great. Have fun, make memories, do it. But fulfillment is when you look back on life and you say, look what the Lord has done. Thank God I didn't say yes to that. Thank God I didn't say no to that. Because I want to live a legacy for my family. Okay? Nobody's watching me. Dad, yes, they are. They're watching you. They're watching you very closely. And especially in this generation. Kids don't listen with their ears. They listen with their eyes. They're visual. It's a visual generation. It's just they don't. So you could tell them till you're blue in the face. You better not. But I see you. Okay? You got to live legacy minded. Dad, they're watching. Mom, they're watching you. How you conduct yourself, how you carry yourself, how you speak in faith, how you have the joy of the Lord. They know the circumstances are difficult, but you're saying, God, God's with us. I remember growing up, my father left when I was 10 years old. Mom was raising 5 boys. God bless her for that. Amen. I got one, and I'm like, Lord, Jesus, have mercy on my soul. He will not steal my joy of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm sorry. 2 girls as well, and I'm not going to go there. But anyway, praise the Lord. But I'm like, you know, they're watching. I remember growing up, Mom would just be like, yeah, it's tough, but you know, God's with us, son. I'd be like, Mom, what? I see my mom help other people. I'd be like, Mom, we don't even have anything. She's like, I know, but it's better to give. I'm like, But now I look back and there's a legacy in my life because she chose the joy of the Lord, fulfillment, belief in God. They're watching you, Mom. They're watching you, Dad. You know, your friends are watching you. I got nobody watching me. They're watching you. What are you going to say about your God? What does your God say about your life? What do you say? Their friends are watching you. Nobody's watching me. God is watching you. Come on, somebody. Honor the Lord. Please your Heavenly Father. Say, God, I want to have the joy in you. Even when nobody's watching, I'm not going to just live a life of complaining, a life that's going to lead me into perpetual defeat. I have the victory in the Lord, so I rejoice in the Lord always. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in him, for God is on my side. Even when all of hell is against me, me plus God is always the majority, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So my hope is in the Lord. Say amen. Last verse, actually three more verses. I'm going to read them fast. Psalms 30 verse 5. For anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. There are so many people that make a decision on a momentary feeling. You know, a momentary feeling of upset. You didn't choose joy, you chose anger. Anger lasts for a moment. Never make long-term decisions on a short-term feeling. Okay. No, I choose joy. The favor of God lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may last through a night, but joy comes when? In the morning. So I also want to say there is a season of sorrow. If you lost a loved one, you've gone through something, I understand the season of sorrow. But you got to then say, joy comes in the morning. Lord, I want the joy of God to hit my life. I don't want to live in this perpetual downcast state, Lord. I want the joy of God to come into my life. Psalm 126 and verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Come on, shout amen. The last verse, and I'm done. Look, I'm walking away from my notes. Psalms 51, and I want to pray. David the psalmist wrote this. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. And I want to pray in this moment that God will restore the joy of the Lord in your life. For some of you, in your salvation, maybe church has become mundane. Maybe the preaching, the worship, your Bible reading. Let's ask God, Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. Restore the joy of my salvation. Would you stand to your feet? Let's pray.
Thanks for tuning in. We pray you are encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media. See you next week.